Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank y'all for being here today. And here's the truth I want you to know. The reason you're here is because God brought you here. That's the reason you're here. And so that we might experience, thank you, brother, that we might experience the presence and the anointing and the power of Almighty God. There's something special when God's people get together. All right, I need to get busy preaching here. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. And I'm also going to read, we're going to be in Luke 24, verses 50 through 53. And then we're going to flip on over to Acts chapter 1, the sister verses to these verses. And while you're doing that, while you're finding Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1, let me just kind of introduce the message this morning. There are five inseparable historical facts concerning the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. There is His incarnation when God left heaven and came to earth as a human being. His incarnation, His crucifixion, His resurrection, which we just got through celebrating. And then there are two other historical facts concerning the Lord. His ascension and His glorious exaltation. And those two are inseparably linked to the ascension of Jesus Christ, which we're going to talk about this morning. Now, so that's why I've included these last two messages in Easter Essentials, this sermon series we've been going through. And so as we move through this today, I want to tell you the ascension of Jesus Christ is awesome. I've only heard one other sermon on the ascension, and I heard it from Dr. Jerry Vines, one of the greatest messages I've ever heard. Been 16, 17 years ago. And some of the things you're going to be hearing stem from hearing that message. So I want to give him some credit today. And then the ascension is like finding an untapped mine of wealth. It's like finding an unexplored ocean of treasure. Like an unsurveyed galaxy of glory. It's an amazing thing. The ascension of Jesus Christ. Y'all do know that from time to time, Jesus got homesick. John 6 and verse 62, John 7 and verse 33 tell us that Jesus was ready to go back home. And especially after He had completed the work, after He'd made the sacrifice to go home, He was ready to go home. He was ready to go back to that world where He was before the world even was. Y'all with me? Okay, and so I want you to just think with me for just a minute. What if they had back in the day some technology? What if they had television crews and cameras and smartphones and iPhones and iPads and tablets and stuff and social media, and they could have broadcast the ascension of the Lord all over the world. But you know what? I believe we have the Holy Spirit here today, and He's going to make the ascension real to our hearts and lives. We're going to go to the Mount of Olives together today. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, let's go. All right, let's rise in the honor of reading of God's Word. Luke 24, starting at verse 50. And He led them out as far as Bethany. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while He blessed them that He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now go with me to Acts chapter 1. These are the sister verses of the same scenario, of the same thing that Luke was describing. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say, hold on, preacher. Okay. Lunch is at what time? Okay. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Father, would you bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your prophetic word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. All right. Now, I'm going to do my best to follow these sermon notes, but I've asked the Lord over here and all morning long to just fill me with his spirit. And so whatever God gives me, I'm going to give to y'all. And so I want us to go to the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives. Billy and Carol, we've been there. Susan, we've been there, hadn't we? And so I want us to go to the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives, just outside a little village called Bethany. Well, that's where Jesus left and went back home. That's where he ascended to the Lord, from the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives, just outside of Jerusalem, just real close to a little village called Bethany. And I personally believe, remember those 500 brethren that Paul talked about that saw him at once? I believe there could have been hundreds of believers that day there as the Lord was giving his last instructions to his disciples and to his followers. And so suddenly, Jesus made an exit from this world. Jesus made an exit from this world. He left this world behind and went back to where he was before the world was. Y'all with me so far? Now, you've really got to have, a sanctified imagination to get this. But all the disciples are standing around him. And he had given them his last instructions. And all of a sudden, he begins to rise. You see, it's time for him to go home. He's completed the work the Father gave him to do. He's done. He had paid for our salvation. He had become the sacrifice for sin once and for all. He had reconciled an outraged heaven against a rebellious humanity. He had completed the work that his Father sent him here to do. It was time for him to go home. And suddenly, the strongest law in the universe was broken, suspended, or relaxed. I don't know which it was. But Jesus began to rise, making an exit from this world right before their very eyes. Now, that you think about the law of gravitation. If I take one step here and then the other foot follows, what's going to happen? I'm going down. That's the law of gravitation. And it's probably the strongest law in our universe right now. It's the same law that keeps the stars in places at night. It's the same law that holds the sun in its place. It's the same law that keeps the planets whirling around the sun. But I want to tell you, on this day, on the Mount of Olives, the strongest law of the universe, although it could keep the stars and hold them in their place, could not hold and keep the bright and the morning star. That law that says that keeps the sun in place and tells it when to shine could not keep the sun of righteousness from arising with healing in his wings. And so there was an exit from this world. Now, the scriptures tell us over there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 that Jesus ascended up to a cloud. And he got on his chariot of deity and went back home to heaven on a cloud. I was stepped outside this morning and there was this beautiful cloud, Tad, and I got to thinking about all of this stuff. And anytime I see a beautiful glory cloud, I get to think, this could be the day. This could be it. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Come on now. I know I've been studying this for 2 weeks and all, but get on the glory cloud with me, okay? And so Jesus begins to rise up into this cloud, and I believe it's the same glory cloud, the same Shekinah cloud that guarded and guided the children of Israel through their wilderness wanderings for 40 years. I believe that with all my heart. And so Jesus is going up into the cloud there, and it was expedient that the Lord go away. I want you to turn in your Bibles real quickly to John 16:7. I know Ellen can get it for you quicker than you can get there, but you need to go there yourself because it'll help you remember what we're talking about. John 16:7. And Ellen, we love you. Thank you for all your hard work. But there's nothing like having a Bible in front of you or an iPhone or something of that nature and going to the exact scripture for yourself because you're going to need it. Look at your neighbor and say, he's right. All right. Listen to this. These are the words of Christ. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus was carried up into heaven by this cloud, and it was expedient that he go away. And when Jesus left, he gave a gift to the whole world. You see, John 16:7 tells us if Jesus hadn't gone away, if he hadn't gone to heaven, then the Holy Spirit couldn't have come. And so his ascension gift to the planet, to the world, was the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And I mean, he draws us and he woos us. He's what led you here this morning. He convicts us. He saves us. He teaches us. He leads us. He guides us. He protects us. He provides for us. He comforts us. How many of you are thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit this morning? Glory to God. Come on, give a Pentecostal praise for him today. Hallelujah. And so the Lord's ascension gift when he went back home was 10 days later he sent the Holy Spirit. 40 days. He was here 40 days after his resurrection before he was ascended. And then he told the disciples to go back to Jerusalem from Galilee and hang out there for 10 days. And in 10 days, the Holy Ghost fell. We Baptists are scared to death when we hear that term, Holy Ghost. Well, I won't tell you what. He is something else because anything God's doing right now is being done by the Spirit of Almighty God. But did you know there was a second ascension gift? And God gave this gift to the church. Woo! Look at Ephesians. I like this. You'll see why. Look at Ephesians. Go to Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 4. And look at verse 10, and then I want to read verse 11 is what I really want to get to. But Ephesians 4:10 says, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. I'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. But look at verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's you. Amen. Tell your neighbor, we're talking about you. The ascension gift to the church that Jesus gave to us after he got back to heaven were gifted men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, preachers, pastors, teachers. I've told you all this before. I know I am. I'm God's gag gift to Second Mile Church. Sometimes God's gifts come in unusual wrappings. Amen? Now, don't make fun of him too much because preachers always have the last word up here. But I'm thankful. Did y'all hear about the preacher who got sick on Sunday morning? He got deathly sick, and they had to take him over to the hospital. And they began to run all these tests, and finally he's worn out at the end of the night. And then all of a sudden his chairman of deacons comes in to the hospital room, and he said, "Pastor, I've got great news for you." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "The deacons took a vote this afternoon, and we voted 5-4 to pray for your recovery." I know sometimes God's pastors and preachers and teachers are a little bit different, a little bit cut out of a different piece of cloth, but I am so thankful for God's gifted men in my life. I'm so thankful for John Lyda. I'm so thankful for Roger Freeman. I'm so thankful for my mentors, Dr. Robert Smith. He was my preaching professor. I'm so thankful for men like James Merritt, one of my great mentors in the faith, and Jerry Vines, and yeah, James Shepherd. And I'm so grateful and thankful for men who have invested in my life and poured into my life, these preachers. I'm so thankful for Warren Wiersbe, amen? I'm so thankful for John Phillips. I'm so thankful for Charles Haddon Spurgeon and D.L. Moody and Martin Luther. I could go on and on again. I want to tell you, I am so graced and blessed by God's gift to the church. Aren't you thankful for these guys? Hallelujah. And having said that, let me say this. Our hope is not in Washington, D.C. I don't know why in the world we start thinking that, oh, if we can just get so-and-so back in office, oh, if we can just do this, or if we can just get this politician in place, or if we can do that. Friends, I want to tell you, the greatest thing that ever happens Sunday in, Sunday out, is when God's gifted men get up in the pulpits all across America and preach an ascended Lord. That's our hope. That's our hope. Jesus is coming. And by the way, I am sick and tired of all the prophets of gloom and doom, that the church is irrelevant, the church is old-fashioned, the church is going down. Well, let me tell you, the history of the church will be the history of our Savior repeated. Spit upon? Yes. Laughed at? Yes. Mocked? Scorned? Made fun of? Yes. Beaten? Yes. Crucified? Yes. But risen again, triumphant, victorious. The church isn't going down. She's going up. She's leaving just the way that she left. And so Jesus rose right before their very eyes. And that word steadfastly that's used over there in Acts, Jerry Vine says that word steadfastly means that those disciples were watching him and gazing at him so intently, they were stretching their eyeballs out. Can you imagine? Oh, there goes my Lord. Oh, if I could just get one more glimpse of the glory. Simon Peter. Oh, there goes the only one that could ever do anything with me. And then came that amazing announcement from those two men. If your Bible says angels, you need to get another translation, because the word here is men. Two men in white apparel. You know who I think they were? Enoch and Elijah, a Gentile and a Jew who never died. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you have seen taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And that announcement set the disciples on fire. I mean, it tore them up to pieces. And they lived from that point in time on, looking and living for the appearance of the glory and our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again. Look at your neighbor and say, "He's coming." He is coming again. So there was an exit from this world. Say that with me. There was an exit from this world. All right. Secondly, there was an entrance into heaven. Look again. Look again. Luke 24:51. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them. Parted from them and carried up into heaven. And then let me go back to Acts. I love this passage. Are y'all having a good time today? Amen. Amen. God is with us, isn't he? Verse 9, Acts 1. Now when they had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood. And I gave you that in just a minute ago. But Jesus made his exit from the world and then he entered into heaven. And it's very interesting what took place. If you would again, just go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. There you go. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 10, Ephesians 4:10. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the plural heavens, that he might fill all things. And so Jesus went back to heaven on that chariot of deity and entered into heaven. He was carried into heaven. And the word says heavens, plural. In other words, Jesus went up through the first heavens. He was carried up through the first heavens where the birds fly and clouds are formed. And then he went up through the second heavens where the Milky Way galaxy and other galaxies and innumerable stars are. And then he goes up into the third heavens of heaven itself where God resides. Hallelujah. And then 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22 tells us that when he entered into heaven, he went into the throne room where God the Father is and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, when he sat down, it was done, finished, completed. Jesus acquired your salvation on the cross and in the tomb, and he's maintaining your salvation through his intercessory prayer ministry right now. And I want to tell you, when you're interceding on others' behalf and you're lifting up prayers, you're never closer to Jesus than when you're an intercessor. Amen. Had three people say amen. Hallelujah. Jesus went back home. And he is now seated in the throne room. It's also very interesting. Whenever Jesus was describing his ascension, his title for himself was Son of Man. Son of Man. Now we know Jesus came down as Son of what? Son of God. But when he went back to heaven, he went back as Son of God and Son of Man. In other words, he came down as Son of God. He went back as the man God. And today, there is a glorified humanity on the throne in heaven. An astounding concept. The Bible says we shall see him face to face. We're going to look upon our glorified Christ in his human body. I'll tell you, I could go on preaching about that for quite a while. But you know what that means for us today? 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 says, there is therefore now one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The only way you can get to heaven comes through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. Glory to his name. And he's sitting in glory today. Philippians, one of my favorite couple of verses in Philippians is Philippians 2, 9 and 10. It says that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's Lord today. He's Lord over the universe. Romans 14 and verse 9 says this, that Christ died and lives again. He rose again and he lives again for the purpose of being Lord of the living and the dead. He's Lord today. Angels and principalities are subject unto him. Now we're living right now in Hebrews 2:8 says in the not yet. But I want to tell you, he's Lord over the universe. and one day everyone will bow and confess that He's Lord. Is He your Lord? He deserves to be your Lord. Now, Lord means, we don't use that term much anymore, do we? That means that He is the master. He is the king. He is the boss. He's number one. Yes. And I ran across this story several years ago. Dr. Vines told it, I think, but it comes from Stephen Olford. Dr. Stephen Olford has passed away now, but he was a great pastor, author, theologian, helped found the seminary down in Memphis, Mid-America Seminary. But he grew up in South Africa. And he told a story, Dr. Olford did, about one of the chiefs had died in one of those South African tribes and those villages, and they were looking for a new chief, and they were going to elect a new chief. And so there was a man, Dr. Olford said, that wanted to be the new chief, and his name was Dazee. Dazee. True story. And some of the other, you know how it is with, you know how things go with an election, right? I mean, it's something else. It's only in America. And everybody will start, you know, running down whoever they're running against. You know, instead of just standing up and say, this is who I am, this is what I can do. We want to cast stones at the other one. Well, some of those guys that were running against Dazee to be the new chief, they started doubting his love and his loyalty for the tribe. And they had a custom over there in South Africa at the time that on election day, everyone that was running for office got to get up and speak. And so on election day, the opponents of Dazee got up to speak, and they slandered him and said, this guy doesn't love you, not like we do, blah, 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 blah. And then it was Dazee, he was the last one. And he got up before all the village that day, and he began to recount a story of the day that the leopard had invaded the village and took several lives that day, until Dazee came running at that leopard, grabbed him with his own hands, crushing the skull of that leopard. And yet at the same time, that leopard mangled his hands and arms. But Dazee said, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't have faced death for you. And rather dramatically, he lifted those nubs, those arms, and he said, in the name of my wounds, I demand the right to be your leader. And that South African tribe all began to chant and jump up and down as one. Dazee is our leader. Dazee is our leader. Do you remember what Luke, we read it this morning, what Dr. Luke said as Jesus was making his exit? He lifted those nail-pierced hands as if to say, these are the tokens of my love for you. And in the name of my wounds, I demand the right to be your Lord. And I've come here today to ask you a question. Now, next week, the last thing there on your outline says Jesus' return to heaven was a celebration. We're going to talk about His exaltation next Sunday. You don't want to miss that. It's Mother's Day too. We're going to have a party next Sunday. But I've said all of that to say this morning. Jesus has been crowned in heaven. Has He been crowned in your heart of hearts? Is He the Lord of your life today? Is He number one? Are you more passionate about Him than anyone else or anything else? Has He got your heart? Does He? Because if He doesn't, your love and your passion's going to some idol. And we've all got idols in our lives. But Jesus, His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, brought you here today to claim Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. My Bible tells me if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now that Bible word for believe means to place your entire weight on something. It means, in other words, to give Him everything that you are to everything that He is. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But quite a few of you in here were like I was back in my early 20s. You know who the Lord in my life was? Me. And I thought I was really something. I found out soon He's Lord. And you need to bow to Him today. We're going to have a time of response. And I'm hoping and praying that we will have a flood of folks surrender to His Lordship today and put Jesus where He ought to be, on the throne of our hearts. I want to pray for you. And then we'll have an altar call. Father, this message was for every single one of us. And today, we desperately need Your Lordship in our life. You've got a better plan and a better purpose for our lives than we do. Infinitely better. But in order to do that, we must surrender to You. God, I know there's people all across this congregation today. Oh, Jesus might be their Savior, but He's not their Lord. Well, I believe in Lordship salvation. I believe that's what the Scripture teaches. And so today, whether folks are saved or lost or not sure about it, I pray that Jesus might become Lord of their lives. Because one day, we will confess that. And we'd rather do it here than there. Because if we have to do it there, it'll be too late. Oh God, move in this place today. Move in our midst. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of response, a song. And don't you wait. I want to ask you to get up out of your seat and come to this altar and do what you know you need to do. Now, if you need salvation today, man, we've got wonderful deacons and counselors that'd be glad to lead you to Christ.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.